Good afternoon, everyone. What an interesting story. The whole chapter concerning this story is pretty fascinating. I'm going to raise this a little bit more. Bracken, will it raise, you think? It did. You fixed it good. Well, Father, thank you for what you're going to say to us by your Spirit. You're going to teach us the ways of life, the ways of Christ. Amen. So I love, let me just read these verses again. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Now, one of the things I'm curious about is, how did they know he was born blind? I mean, did he have a sign that says, born blind? That's because Jesus saw it. The Father revealed it to him. Because Jesus lived out of his union with the Father, and as what the Father saw, Jesus was seeing. And so he must have said something. This man is born blind. The interesting thing, too, is the theology of his disciples. They asked a question because this is what they believed to be real. This is the way things work. This is how God does things. Lord, what was it, this man's sin? Or was it his parents' sin that he should be born blind? Now, one, pretty silly question that he would be born blind because of his sin. Like, was it the sin before he was born? But the point being is that was what clouded their vision. Now, these are the ones who've been following Christ and seen all kinds of wonderful things. But they're living by this religious thing. Some call it the karma principle. You know what karma is? Karma is sort of a Hindu word, but it's a sin consciousness word. And karma means that your action is going to have consequences at some point in the future. And there's nothing that can stop that. It may be years from then, but when it starts to happen, the bad thing happens or whatever good thing happens, you're going to stop. That's karma. I'm getting exactly what I deserve. But karma and grace don't go together. And the karma principle is just another way in the Hindu world that Christians do, that they were doing, they had a sin consciousness. And that God deals with everybody based on the fact that they have sinned. And therefore, if anything's wrong with them, it must be because of their sin or their parents' sin. Now, isn't it interesting that they thought his parents' sin could have caused him to be born blind? Fascinating to me. But Jesus didn't entertain that at all, because Jesus is all about, he came to reveal the truth about the Father. The truth about the Father is that he's love and grace. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, not to affirm the works of the devil. He didn't come and say to people, you're getting exactly what you deserve. He's coming to say, I'm going to set you free from what you think you deserve. I can change your whole story. That's the gospel. Now, are there consequences for certain things that can happen? Yes, of course. But is Jesus able to even turn things around? Change it all, where it becomes part of his story? Is now his story? Yes. You say, well, yeah, but people have to settle for plan B because they messed up plan A. No, God doesn't work that way. If a person's truly repentant, surrendered, then God takes that plan A, and then he pulls out of his pocket plan A. Now, this plan A looks different than the first plan A, but it's still a plan A, not a plan junk. And the problem is that people who don't believe that, they live with the karma principle. And they never can believe for more, because they think they're just getting what they deserve. All of us have been there, haven't we? All of us have thought those things, that this is just a consequence of poor behavior, or we didn't get it quite right. And Jesus didn't even entertain them. He didn't even get in a theological discussion with them, really, as if the question was so contrary to what Jesus came to present, so contrary to the gospel. Again, they asked him, saying, so they asked, they said this to him more than once, because they wanted him to give an answer. There's got to be an answer. Which one, him or his parents? Rabbi, who sinned against this man or his parents that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, I'm going to read it to you with a little bit different wording. I think more accurately in the original language reveals what Jesus is saying. Jesus answered and said, it's neither this man's sin nor his parents, but albeit let the works of God be displayed or unveiled in him. He said, this is what Jesus said. Why are you concerned about that? All that matters is let the works of God be displayed in this man. But you want to dig around, how'd you get there? And see, we can even do that here in healing. We think the only answer to a person getting set free, we got to go back and dig up everything. The answer to a person's brokenness is Jesus. Now, I'm all into inner healing. I understand that. But in the end, it can help a person understand how they got there. But in the end, and walk in some forgiveness towards others. But in the end, it's just Jesus. And Jesus wouldn't answer their question. Boy, this is a discipleship. It was neither him nor his parents, but albeit, let the works of God be unveiled, that's the word, in this man. One of the things it'll do too, if you understand that, it'll set you free from the spirit of judgment and think that you're hearing God tell you all the dark things about this person or this situation. That's not God. Jesus walks in the light. He's solutional. His words are life and freedom, not darkness and bondage. And then the new King James Version, again, that's written in, and I wish it weren't. It says the next thing that Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man could work. But the actual translation and the New American Standard, what it says is, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. But night is coming when no man can work. Jesus is saying, what I'm saying to you is important because we're going to partner. You're joining me. You follow me. You've joined me. And this is our work. That's so exciting to me. That Jesus is saying, this is your work, my work. We're in this together. We're one. Of going about and not being, don't do the karma principle. Don't beat people over the head with a sin consciousness. Allow the works of God to be displayed in them, because that's what God's after. But it's also what we should expect, right? I was talking to the Lord one time about just ministering in terms of signs and wonders, and I was just again saying, Lord, I just want to see the whole gamut, the whole very colored tunic of your works displayed in every way. Let's get words, but exacting words. But I don't want it to do that, Lord, if it's about me looking super spiritual, me being like the super deluxe model. And Jesus said, no, he said, I'm the super deluxe model. And I want to do those things through you so everybody will know that I'm the super deluxe model. And they're joined to me. And this is normal Christianity. Again, these were gods. You know, Judas was in this bunch. These are the guys who are all going to deny him or run from him at the cross, hide in a locked door, behind a locked door. And Peter, the leader, was going to blow it really bad. And he said, because Jesus still isn't operating on the karma principle. I would love to use you guys, but I know you're going to mess up really bad, so that's going to nullify all of that. That's sin consciousness. He's saying to this ragamuffin group, we must work the works of God while it is still light. For when the darkness comes, no man can work. And then Jesus says, while I am in the world, and the language there is really like, every moment that I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Remember he talked about that chapter before? And his light is like, his life is the light of men. What is he saying? He's saying, remember, light speaks of truth. He's saying, what just happened is the truth. This man being in this condition is a lie. It's from the enemy. And I'm the light of the world. And every time I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, every moment I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Well, he said to them in Matthew chapter 5, he says, we're the light of the world. How's that possible? Because we're in union with the light of the world. The truth, you're one with the truth who lives in you. And what God wants us to do in every situation and circumstances in our life, and in the light of ministry, is we're to provoke, we're to, not provoke, but to, we're to display. We're to bring to pass. We're to release the truth here. What's the reality from God's perspective? Wholeness, healing, freedom. You with me? And that's the joy. We don't run around, project darkness and put stuff on people and say, well, you're in this mess because of what you've done. And that's, I understand all that, but Jesus came to undo the mess. And he's invited us to participate in that. And as long as he's in the world, he's the light of the world. And guess what? He's still in the world because we're the body of Christ. So we're to bring light into every situation. Truth. Well, what's truth from God's perspective? Because truth will set you free. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.